So this woman sent your Instagram to her friend, and he said, I want to give you an installation, an exposition.
Yeah.
Just like that. Boom.
Yeah.
First time.
Yes. It was really so hard to believe.
How did you feel? What did that make you feel?
Fear.
Welcome to Artipus, art you can hear. Artipus talks to French artist Manon Gineste in Paris about her very first art exhibit. Ever wondered what it's like to have an art exhibit? To have someone see the beauty in your creative soul and want to share it with the world, hang it in a gallery and talk about it to complete strangers? The French call it exposé, which isn't at all terrifying. And the young artist Manon Gineste experienced just that at her very first art exhibit earlier this year in Paris, no less. Manon is completely self-taught, autodidacte, as you say in French. But her stark, powerful portraits have the intense, sure lines of a young Kandinsky and are as emotional and poignant as the work of Egon Schiele. Her work was exposed to the public earlier this year in her first exhibition ever, a solo show at La Métairie in Montreuil. I was in Paris in April and had a chat with Manon in the cozy new studios of World Radio Paris, with the help of the very talented Thomas Chamillariva, sound engineer on this episode, and resident hero at WRP. Manon and I talked about how she was discovered and what it was like to have her very first time.
When I received the message on Instagram, I couldn't believe it at first. I was like, it's a joke.
How long did it take you to respond?
Maybe an hour.
So you believed it fast enough.
Yeah. But so many emotions came in my mind. I was really surprised because I didn't think it could happen to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I don't respond enough, he will send a message to another. So I have to take the shot. Mm-hmm. So I had to respond fast.
Yeah.
It was really, really exciting too. So,
I was very sad to miss your exposition.
I was really sad that you were not there too.
So tell me about it. What was it like? What did I miss?
It was really impressive to show my art for the first time. It was a relief too. Mm-hmm. There was a piece of my work that were really old. I felt like it was an achievement to show those pieces. Mm. Pieces that were made sometimes in times of troubles. I didn't think one day they will be on a wall of some bar and some random people will see them. Yeah, an achievement of maybe something bigger than me. It was really something strong. And I was really shy during all the party. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I didn't want to speak to anyone because I...
You felt overwhelmed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I didn't...
I think it's normal.
Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit. And let's talk about the space. The space is in Montreuil?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a gallery or a gallery, bar, cafe?
Yeah, there's a big wall, a big black wall. Mm-hmm. It's not that big, but it's kind of big. It's a place where they send natural wine, so it's kind of cool. It's a boo-boo place, so but, it's cool, and people are really relaxed, and they drink their wine. And
look at the paintings on the wall. So the night of the vernissage, you invited all your friends, and your family and everybody. What time did it begin?
It began at 7.
And how many people were there at the very beginning?
maybe 10, 15, maybe they arrived all at the time. So I was very surprised. Like,
they all just shut up.
Yeah.
Did they stay for that first group? Did they stay for the whole vernissage?
Yeah, practically.
Practically?
Practically, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you had this first group, and then you had more people come, yeah. I imagine, throughout the rest of the night. How many people do you think were there in total?
20, 25, 30 people.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people that I didn't think that they will come, so I was very honored and surprised. Really an emotional night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have some wine?
Yeah, a little bit too much.
A little bit too much?
Yeah.
When you went to sleep that night, what was passing through your head?
My sister, my big sister, she gave me flowers, and it was really beautiful. I didn't expect that, so mm-hmm. I was, wow. And when I went to sleep, I put them in a vase just next to my head. Mm-hmm. And it was the very last thing I watched before you
went to sleep?
Yeah, before I went to sleep. So,
how did you have this exposition? Did they find you, or did you send your work around, or was it just a conversation?
So I met a woman with Pôle emploi. It's a French thing.
The job.
Yeah, job thing. We had a stage with something that is supposed to help you find a career and a career. And we met and we had a chat and we went to museum together and we became friends. She showed my Instagram to a friend of her. He really liked it because he ran the gallery in Montreuil. And he wanted to do a show, the theme of the portrait. And he sent me a message on my Instagram and then I accepted to do the show. And
so you found the best agent at the unemployment office ever, apparently.
Yeah.
Did you...
She's really great.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. When I met you, you were still figuring out which direction you wanted to go in with your life.
And it lasted so long.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You're young. It didn't last that long. It's not like you're 80 and you still don't know. Did you know, though, when you met this woman at the Pôle emploi, when you went there, did you think like, oh, this is what I want? I want to be an artist?
I think I was decided, yeah.
Because becoming an artist. So you knew this when you met her. When you had an interview, you said, "So I want to pursue a career in art."
Yeah, because when I went to Pôle emploi, the guy he gave me the stage to find the career, etc. But I knew deep inside me that I wanted to write and to paint and mm-hmm. to do this and not to fool around again, mm-hmm. to do things that I didn't want to do. But deep inside me, those things that I did before in my studies and jobs, it really gave me a lot of things. Comment est-ce qu'on dirait? Enrichir.
Enriched.
Enriched. Mm-hmm. Enrich me. And it's good too. It was strange because this year I have decided to do things that I wanted to do. It was I began the year in September thinking this year I'm starting my life over, mm-hmm. and I'm doing the things that I want to do. So I opened my Instagram. I begin. Re-begin to write. And so it was maybe an achievement for me.
Well, it's kind of a nice confirmation that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Because I was changing my mind. Before, I was often in the negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I was changing my mind in positive thoughts and wanting to be in positive mm-hmm. vibrations. So... it's a new me.
how did you feel going to that first meeting?
It was impressive too, because this man, his name is Freddy, is not talkative. So he's looking at you. I had to talk on my own. So I was okay. We talked about the show and maybe the installation and how he wanted maybe to install the works. Mm-hmm. And then we had a lot of wine.
That equalizes everything. Good. How did you choose the works?
At first, we wanted to put all the watercolors in the vitrine. Mm-hmm. In front of the magasin, mm-hmm. put all the blues and the blacks on the black wall. But when I brought the works on the installation day, we realized that the watercolors and the blues and the blacks were really great together. Mm-hmm. And so we put the blues instead. Mm-hmm. Some blues instead in the vitrine. Mm-hmm. They were hanging on a chain, and it mm-hmm. was really great because they were turning.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, the installation was great because it chooses the places where the painting had to go. But sometimes I agreed with him sometimes, mm-hmm. but sometimes I told him that it was not that great and to add some paintings. It was cool that a man like him, not talkative and mm-hmm. with great taste, because he is a great artist, listened to me. Mm. Me with my 26 years old. And
yeah, but you know your work.
Yeah.
So that counts for something.
I know my works, but I didn't know them together. Mm. So it was like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Which one goes to which one? So it was like a mystery, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to put them together and know which one will be great next mm-hmm. to which one. It was long and hard, and I was really exhausted after, because I had to... I didn't see that coming. In fact,
did that reveal anything new to you about your work or yourself, that process, when you got to see them kind of all together? Did that make a new picture for you about what you do?
Maybe to like them more, because some of them, like I told you, were made in times of trouble, mm-hmm. really, really great trouble, not great, but trouble. And some of them, I couldn't like them. It was like I put some peinture mm-hmm. on paper. You see that the faces, they are aching. Mm-hmm. There is something really painful about them. And when I look at them now, something has changed. It's like they are réconciliés.
Reconciled
with me and with the world, because they have been put together with the one who are maybe healed and in flesh, and the other one were not in flesh. They were not incarnated.
Why did you show them? It sounds like they were so intimate.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of courage to reveal that.
Yeah, it was really intimate, and that was why it was so painful. Maybe to not painful, but impressive to show them. Mm-hmm.
But did Freddie ask for those specifically, did you say, oh, and then I have these as well. I don't like them, but you can show them.
No, he wanted to. He wanted them to for the exhibition. He took my my portfolio, mm-hmm. and he selected the works that he wanted.
Okay,
and it was really instinctive mm-hmm. for him to put to take the one that he wanted, mm-hmm. And it worked very well. Mm-hmm. The works they completed together, mm-hmm. the ones that were plenty and the ones that were maybe empty, or you know, about the portrait and mm-hmm. the lines. So it was really interesting.
How did you talk yourself into saying, okay, he asked for these, especially the ones that you made when you were feeling more troubled? Mm. How did you talk yourself into releasing those to someone else?
Yeah, it's you expose yourself. I exposed myself a little bit, but I was okay with that. So I couldn't blame him. Maybe it was okay for me mm-hmm. to just give up a little bit of that past, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was okay for me to just breathe.
How did you feel that day leading up to the vernissage?
It was a special day because it was a snowy day, so there was electricity in the air, and it was really a special day for me, and I think for everyone. I woke up very early, and I mm-hmm. went to the printing place where I printed some cards, and I had a great time with my best friend, mm-hmm. and we how do you say in English to cut them? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to cut mm-hmm. them. And it was a good day. And then I had to be a little bit with myself so I can concentrate, focus. Mm-hmm. And then I arrived to the place a little bit in advance. There were nobody, so I was totally on my own. And it was really awkward because I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, okay, what do I do?
And those are the times when you wish you smoked.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'd be useful to have a cigarette right now.
So it was really, really funny. And then all the people arrived mm-hmm. all at the time. So it was like a bomb. It was funny because I didn't know how to deal with it. Everybody talked to me to explain about my paintings, and I didn't know how to do this. So it was really impressive this way too.
But you were surrounded by people who love you.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier.
Yeah.
But how do you feel now about having your first vernissage? So the reason I'm talking to you about this today is because normally when people interview artists, it's artists who have had a few installations, a few expos. They've been around for a while. They're not this brand new mm-hmm. artist. And it's easy to forget, I think, for mm. artists, for anyone, when you enter your profession and you're maybe in it for a few years or 10 years or something, you forget what that first time feels like. It's a very special moment mm. to capture. And you did a great job telling me about like how you felt before and all these wonderful things. But how do you feel after? How did you feel when you walked out of the gallery that night and you went home? And how do you feel now?
Right after, when I went home, I was exhausted. It was a magic moment, and I was walking home with friends, with one of my best friends, and I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize, you know, sometimes when something really great happens to you,
yeah.
you don't realize, mm-hmm. and it's just someday, maybe a month or 2 months later, that you realize that it just happened to you. Mm-hmm. Something just really cool. You had a magical night. Mm-hmm. And it was that what happened to me. A magical evening with some friends of mine and some random people that I didn't know and were amazing to me and to my works, because what was important was not me, but my works. Mm-hmm. And it was really important. And now what I feel about that, I have to be ready for May and for mm-hmm. the one, and to keep on painting because it's the beginning.
Did it make you feel confident? Did it give you some confidence as an artist? As a kind of legitimizes you when someone else says, ah, I see the value in your work.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I have trouble to see myself as an artist because I'm not a confident person. So mm-hmm. it's hard for me to see myself as an artist.
What do you think it would take to convince you that you're an artist? Can you imagine?
I don't know.
If you have a painting in the Louvre? No.
I sent a painting.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Last, it was the March 13, and it was the portrait of George Stinney. It's a really important painting for me because it's the portrait of a young Afro-American who was il a été électrocuté par erreur.
Wrongly.
Yeah.
Executed.
Yeah. The youngest boy who.
The youngest person to ever be executed.
Yeah. In America. So it was when I heard this story, I was so emotional about this. So mm-hmm. I had to paint his portrait.
And you sent this portrait to the Louvre.
Yeah.
Did you hear back from them?
No.
No, not yet.
No, I've sent it to a nice man, Franck Andrieux. He's a comedian and he's an intellectual too, mm-hmm. and really nice. We had a chat about everything, art, mm-hmm. poetry, literature. It was really enrichment.
Enriching.
Enriching. Mm-hmm.
You can see Manon's work in her upcoming exhibition, opening the 19th of May at Théâtre de Verre, located at 12 Rue Henri Rubière at Place des Fêtes in the 19th arrondissement in Paris. And you can follow her work on Instagram at avril_1970. That's avril_1970. She's a true Manon of the spring. Special thanks to Thomas Chamuyarira for his audio engineering, station master David Blanc, and the beautiful studios of World Radio Paris for hosting us for this interview. Music used in this episode is Jazzy Frenchie by Ben Sounds, used under Creative Commons and available for download as royalty-free music at bensounds.com. Artipus is an independently produced podcast supporting artists, museums and galleries, and local musicians. If you connected to this episode, please support the making of the next one. Just click on the donate button at our website, www.artipus.com. That's artipoeus.com. Transcripts and photos of this episode and more are available at medium.com. You're probably listening to us on SoundCloud or iTunes or on Acast for Android, but you can also stream us through one of our media partners. World Radio Paris, the first all-English radio station in the City of Light. Reaching over 1 million English speakers in Grand Paris, WRP broadcasts syndicated shows and locally produced content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Broadcasting on digital audio band, look for World Radio Paris or call letters WRP. Find the full schedule at worldradioparis.fr. Bear Radio. Bear Radio is Berlin's first English language podcast network, bringing together the best producers, hosts, and personalities in Berlin. Bear Radio curates Berlin-based programming that immerses, informs, and entertains. For a complete show list, visit bearradio.org. Glarify.com, the world's first art map app, the interactive global mapping tool that lets you locate artist studios, openings, and exhibits in your town and around the world. Sign up at glarify.com. The Dark Rooms, a curator and artist collective dedicated to reaching beyond the art market through pop-up immersive art experiences in Berlin and beyond. Learn more at thedarkrooms.de. Gallery A Plus in Berlin, an independent exhibition space providing emerging artists a concentrated platform for presentation and discussion for a divergent art audience. Learn about upcoming exhibits and events at aplus.de. Stuzu, the studio exchange for artists, helping artists find new inspiration in new places and grow their art. It's like creative Airbnb. List your studio at stuzu.com. Artipus is very proud to support Hangar One, a nonprofit organization helping Berlin's war zone migrants integrate into their new communities through art. Please support their work at hangarone.org. I'm Susie Kolick, and you've been listening to Artipus, Art You Can Hear.